Change the scheme, alter the mood. Electrify the boys and girls, if you'd be so kind.
This can't be good. What am I supposed to do?
Survive. Here they come.
It's Queer FM Arts Extra. My name's Aiden Saint. Hey, how you doing, Vancouver? Well, we're really light in the control room today. It's just me. I know, it's going to be just you and me, and we're going to hang out and have some fun, damn it. So, you know, it's one of those really amazing, the day after Halloween is really amazing to me because, people are really just kind of tired and shagged out after, in this case, sometimes 4 days of partying and crazy. It was really fun downtown to watch all of the fireworks and to see just all the amazing costumes. Even my lovely husband, Justin Saint, came home from Blanche McDonald. He was a skeleton. It was amazing makeup. And I got to see it all. It was fun. Well, we have some really cool stuff going on. We have a report from Barb Snellgrove. Barb has her van bag segment, which I will be doing to the best of my ability. She's in Hawaii, and that's just, I got no sympathy. But she's having a good time, so we hope she's having a fabulous time, and she gets back safely. We also have a little bit from Justin Saint. We have something from me. There was a really interesting news / entertainment article that I get to talk about today and the backlash of that. You've heard it around and about in the news. We also have a whole bunch of music. We just have a lot of stuff. So we've got 1 hour. Once again, Queer FM Arts Extra is brought to you by The Fall Tattooing here in Vancouver, thefalltattooing.ca. You can check it out. Fantastic shop. I can't say enough about it. And they're doing their Movember event. So it's going for a good cause. Start growing that hair, boys. Well, and girls. You know, you can always paint some on, too. I'm sporting a beard right now because, that's just what people want for some of the film stuff. And so I can't participate. I gotta shave it all off. So the rules are you have to shave it all off, take a picture, and then grow it. And then whoever can grow the most or be the most stylish at the end of the month wins. And so get out your razors and start. Today's the day. We're going to step aside, have a few little radio announcements, and we're going to be right back with Queer FM Arts Extra and some of our particular brand of crazy right after this.
This upscale pub, featuring lots of dark wood, a cool bar with your favorite ales on tap, and friendly servers, is a great place to hang with friends or to maybe make a new one. If you've only got time to stop in for a quick lunch, you'll be happy to see the menu featuring standard pub fare at reasonable prices. sit inside or head out to the covered patio to indulge in one of the best things about Davie Street, cruising. Or, for you shy types, people watching.
The Fountainhead Pub at 1025 Davie Street. Open Sunday to Thursday from 11 a.m. to midnight.
Or drop by from Friday to Saturday from 11 a.m. to 1 a.m. Cheers.
This is Kay Tuckerman. I play Donna Sheridan in Mamma Mia, and you're listening to Queer FM on CITR 101.9.
This is Justin Saint, and you're listening to Queer FM on CITR 101.9 FM. And I've just come back from West Side Story by Vancouver Opera. I was really, really jazzed when they finally announced that they were going to be doing West Side Story. Why? Bernstein, when he wrote West Side Story, kind of redefined musical theater in some cases, because he had been doing a mixture of operettas and musical theater at the time. And with West Side Story, he created a score that was kind of, at the time, a bit more demanding than what, you know, what most musical theater actors would have had to sing. And the score really, especially for the leads, Tony and Maria, they're almost as if they were designed for classically trained singers. And let's just say, it's a really good fit. Now, West Side Story also has a really, really strong dancing element. Pretty much everyone who knows West Side Story is familiar with the ever-popular figure of gangs who like to dance ballet through streets. So, I had never seen West Side Story on stage before, and let me tell you, the dancing gangs totally, totally translates on the stage medium. On film, it's kind of iconic, and, you know, it's pretty, but it doesn't make sense. Like, why the hell are these guys dancing ballet through these back alleys? It just doesn't make sense. On stage, it totally works. And with the impressive score, it just really adds to it altogether. I had the privilege of seeing West Side Story with Colin Fu. Colin Fu is a local Vancouver actor. He is the first Asian-Canadian actor to be nominated for a Leo Award, so he had a few things to say about the show as well. He actually saw the Broadway production back in the 70s, and according to him, the play does stay true to the original feel of the Broadway production, except for some parts where they tried to modernize it a little bit. And I kind of felt the same thing as well. The actors were doing some gestures that I think were a little too modern for the time, and that kind of threw things off. The other thing that was kind of off was the balance between the male and the female actors. There was quite a significant number of males on the stage, but the number of female actors was a bit lacking, and it took away from the strength of some of the two more iconic numbers in the piece, America and I Feel Pretty. Everyone knows that one, right? I Feel Pretty. America in the movie is done as kind of a thing by the Puerto Ricans, as a boys versus girls thing. In the play, it's actually just the girls. It's one girl who wants to go back to Puerto Rico and be all famous because she's an American girl now, and all the other girls who have kind of settled in and don't really want to go back there. They had only about five girls doing that piece, and you know, the girls were phenomenal. The dancing was amazing. And Anita, played by Cleopatra Williams, is phenomenal as a dancer. Like, they did a lot of kicks and jumps, and they were still belting and hooting and cheering, and it was a lot of fun. A lot of fun. They just could have had used more girls. The same thing for I Feel Pretty. The entire song, I Feel Pretty, is done around this one bed. And this scene just wasn't big enough for such an iconic number. The other issues I found with the show, and Colin did as well, the lighting. The lighting did not really change from scene to scene, except for the one scene where Tony and Maria kind of dream about their future. Then it totally changes. But for the rest, there is no transition between scenes. The thing that Colin and I did disagree on, though, was the song Tonight. In the song Tonight, it's the iconic balcony scene. Tony and Maria have their own places on these two separate moving staircase platforms. And for the start of the scene, the staircases are kind of directed towards the audience. So while they're singing, Maria and Tony are actually, though they're supposed to be singing to each other, the actors are actually singing to you. Now, Colin found that really weird, and he said that, you know, they should have been singing to each other, because that makes more sense. For me, I actually quite like it, because first they're singing to you, and then their eyes finally meet for the first time when they start singing the main part of Tonight. And for me, that, you know, there was just that moment of, that breathtaking, you know, moment of theater magic that, you know, theater geeks like me just live for. The leads, played by Tony, was played by Colin Ainsworth, and Maria was played by, I hope I'm saying this right, Lucia Casaloni. And Colin, oh my god, what a phenomenal tenor. Really, really gorgeous, beautiful tenor voice. It was perfect, especially his first number. His voice just glided through those notes like butter. It was gorgeous, and I have to say, this score really is made to be sung by operatic singers. It was just amazing, and Lucia, oh my god, she, for the entire production, her voice was so strong, so clear, Colin said. It was just like a bell, and it was just so rich. It's like you could feel every note, and she didn't need a mic, and she's a trained opera singer, she did not need a mic. But with a mic, it was absolutely phenomenal. For the rest of the cast, now there is a big difference between the cast in the show, because it is quite clear who the professional opera singers are and who the musical theater slash dancers are. The musical styles are definitely very, very distinct. So besides the two leads, there is only one distinct opera singer in the cast. The rest pretty much are musical theater actors and dancers. It kind of felt like you were watching two different shows in the first act. The Jets and the Sharks would have their very dancey musical theater feeling like numbers, and then Tony and Maria would do their really romantic, beautiful opera ballads together. The flow didn't work as well for me. At the end, near the end, though, Maria and Anita, they have a duet together, and the stark contrast between Maria's operatic voice and Anita's musical theater voice added, really, really added to the song. And personally, I found that that was one of the best parts of the show. Hands down. The other really, really good part of the show is the non-stop dancing. Oh my god. West Side Story does call for a lot of dancing, and the actors hired by Vancouver Opera do not miss a beat. There were a lot of really recognizable names from the local Vancouver theater scene. So we had Vincent Tong, Robin Wong, Stephen Greenfield, and even Mr. Terrell Witherspoon from the Homorazzi Gang. Hey, Terrell. Terrell plays Baby John, and we finally got to see his acting chops. So here's a shout-out for you, Terrell. You're awesome. So, final thoughts. West Side Story by Vancouver Opera was definitely, definitely worth seeing. The next show they're doing is Romeo and Juliet, and that's happening in November, so stay tuned because we'll have tickets to see for that. If Vancouver Opera does do more musical theater, Vancouver Opera does bring higher caliber theater to Vancouver, so the more musical theater stuff they do, here's a hint, I really want to see Candide. It's also by Bernstein. Oh, and also as a side note, I really appreciate surtitles for non-English productions because, you know, I don't really speak anything besides English and Tagalog. But, for English shows, when the actors might miss a line or things aren't really going, you know, along with the show, not really that effective. It's more distracting more than anything. So, yeah, something you might want to keep in mind, Vancouver Opera. You can check out more Vancouver Opera stuff on vancouveropera.ca, and you can check out our stuff on queerfmvancouver.com. And I'd like to happily announce that we have a new weekly newsletter, and you can sign up for that on our website. You can keep up to date with what's going on in town and any ticket giveaways we're doing and, you know, any events that we happily promote on the show. So if you want easy access to that, it's all online. We link you to all the websites, give you all the info, even provide you with the ticket information in case you really wanted to go, but, you know, you just didn't know if you had to go to Ticketmaster or Ticket Tonight or whatever. It's all on there. So please support us. We also have our like page on Facebook. That's Queer FM Vancouver. Like us, follow us, tweet us. We love it when you do. So this is Justin Saint for Queer FM on CITR 101.9 FM.
Looking to connect with gay guys like yourself?
Did you know that the friendly neighborhood guys at Health Initiative for Men do more than just hand out condoms? Working with gay guys in your community, HIMS volunteers, nurses, and staff bring awareness to all aspects of gay men's health.
They also offer fitness and yoga classes, counseling and peer support, and even STI and rapid HIV testing through their sexual health center.
Check HIM out online for more information at www.checkhimout.ca. They're here to help you make the most out of your life.
When I hit stop, press rewind. Take a little time, play back in my mind.
This is Justin Saint, and you're listening to Queer FM on CITR 101.9 FM.
Every year in this country, 300 kids take their own lives. It is a mind-boggling number. And this past week, one of those kids was Jamie Hubley. He was 15, he was depressed, and he happened to be gay. And because this is 2011, we just don't read about a kid like Jamie, we can Google him. And then the next thing you know, you're sitting at home watching his videos on YouTube. And he was gay, all right. He was a great big goofy gay kid singing Lady Gaga on the internet. And as an adult, you look at that and you go, you know what? That kid's going places. But for some reason, some kids, they looked at that and they attacked. And now he's gone. And because this story is all too familiar, we know exactly what's going to happen next. Grief counselors will go into the school as they should. But what about the old-fashioned assembly? You know, where the cops show up and there's hell to pay and they find out who's responsible. You know, like when the lunchroom is vandalized. Because the kids who bullied this boy, they know who they are. And more importantly, other kids know who they are. It's no longer good enough for us to tell kids who are different that it's going to get better. We have to make it better now. That's every single one of us, every teacher, every student, every adult has to step up to the plate. And that's gay adults too, because I know gay cops, soldiers, athletes, cabinet ministers, a lot of us do. But the problem is, adults, we don't need role models. Kids do. So if you're gay and you're in public life, I'm sorry, you don't have to run around with a pride flag and bore the hell out of everyone, but you can't be invisible, not anymore. 300 kids is 300 too many.
Tell you some kind of worried out there about what I'm doing up here, and I assure you my reasoning is completely shallow about how and why I'm here to entertain you. I'm merely on a divine plan to convert you all to the dark side of the bedroom. So why don't you come and pray at my church for a change? Then I'll pray on you, cause that's what my do. And I'm just doing this for the chicks. I'm just singing, hoping I make it with you, baby. All I need is my God-given ability to serenade. Now I'm on a full-blown recruiting crusade. I've got me a rockin' rhyming dictionary. I got me a couple of killer hot licks, yeah. But the music's all just extracurricular. I'm just doing it for the chicks. You're the kind of gal who likes to fool around. Then I'm the kind of gal you wanna be bedding down. If you're bisexual, better yet, a curious hetero, oh, then baby, I'm your man. If you've got a voyeur for a boyfriend, even better. Or if you just feel like doing a little experimenting, why don't you take the plunge and jump the fence with me? And I'll take you for a wild ride on the other side. Cause I'm just doing this for the chicks. I'm just singing, hoping I'll make it with you, baby. All I need is my God-given ability to serenade. Just doing it for the chicks. Ooh, ooh, ooh. I'm just doing it for the chicks. You're the kind of guy who likes to fret and frown about his place in the world. Then I guess that I'm your worst nightmare. And I'm coming true, cause I'm here to steal your little lady out from under you. And I can see you're concerned with all this coming out. And I'm the other woman your mother forgot to warn you about. You believe that I'm your nemesis, but that's just ludicrous, cause the one thing I want to impress on you is this: I'm just doing it for the chicks. I'm just singing, hoping to make this world a better place to live in. All I need is my woman-driven ability to serenade. Now I'm on a full-blown crooning crusade. Yeah, I've got me a pocket rhyming dictionary. I got me a couple killer hot licks, yeah. But the music's all just extracurricular. I said the music's all just extracurricular, baby. The music's all just extracurricular. I'm just doing it for the chicks. Ooh, ooh, ooh. I'm just doing it for the chicks. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm just doing it for the chicks. I'm just doing it for the chicks.
And that was Kate Reed. Kate Reed's one of our favorites. We are going to just keep playing Kate Reed until Kate comes out with another CD, or until Kate, basically accedes to our demands. Wow, I'm like caught up in the... This is just a note to the other programmers in CITR. When you have a headset and you like...
The wires.
Wow, the wires are like macrame. I'm tied to the microphone here. It's really kind of fun. If I was into bondage this early in the morning, this would be perfect, but I'm really not. So CITR programmers, come on, get it together. All right. So, Kate Reed has come through town. She's fantastic. You need to check it out. You can check her out at katereed.net, KATEREID.net. Yeah. I have the lovely, fantastic, talented, and slight touch of a cold,
sniffly
Samantha Mack in the studio.
Hi.
Oh dear.
I sound like a little kid.
Yeah, well, that's all right. We normally would have the Barb Snellgrove. We normally have Barb in the studio. Barb is off in Hawaii right now. She's on. Oh yeah, she Twittered yesterday. I think I actually did flip off my iPad that I read this on. So if you're listening, Barb, I flipped you off. All right. She's saying, "Yes, I'm off to go wander and find some deserted beach somewhere." It's like, thanks for that. But Barb is, if nothing, if not extremely well organized. So this is wait, I have a lovely, see, I was going to have to read this myself. And I'm thinking, I've got the lovely Samantha Mack, who has a lovely female voice.
And a lovely cold.
So this is Barb Snellgrove's van bag for 1st of November, 2011.
Hi, Van Bags. Well, it's going to be a busy fall for this old bag. Lots to see and do, and some amazing events lined up to tickle your fancy and help support local charities around town. I'm not going to waste time telling you how warm it is here where I am, but rest assured I will be back in town and begging on more great events live on the next Queer FM Arts Extra Roundup, Tuesday, November 8th. So without further ado, SAD Magazine presents Queer FM Cultural Awards Show November 3rd from 8 p.m. till 1 a.m. at the Cobalt Hotel at 917 Main Street. SAD Mag is proud to present issue 7/8. Or is that 7/8?
7/8.
Oh, I like 7/8. Issue 7/8. The Vancouver Queer History issue. Our special double issue is a celebration of Vancouver's diverse queer art and culture from 1960 to today. To celebrate the new issue and Vancouverites who inspired its creation, the SAD Mag Publishing Society will be presenting cultural awards to queer heroes and pioneers who have made advancements in the areas of art, culture, performance, and community. Hosted by funny woman Morgan Brayton, join us for an evening of live entertainment in our Queer Artist Cabaret featuring comedian Dan Dumsha, drag artist Isolde and Baron, gender illusionist Ponyboy, dance troupe House of La Douche, dance the night away with music by DJ Jeff Leopard. Tickets available at Little Sisters on Davie Street and Red Cat Records on Tuesday, October 11th. Really? Tuesday, October 11th?
That's when tickets went on sale. Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was October. It's November. My God, yeah. Someone get me coffee. Anyways, tickets are only $6. Tickets are available at the door for $8. Prairie Fairy Fowl Supper, November 5th, 4:30 until midnight. The 12th annual Prairie Fairies Fowl Supper, the Fillmore Family Cruise repositioned. The Fowl Supper is sold out. Have an extra ticket? Need a ticket? Visit the ticket swap page and get moving at fillmorefamily.ca.
It's a fantastic event. It's going to benefit A Loving Spoonful and, I'm going to totally blank on this, but maybe it's out in schools. I can't recall, but it's a really fantastic event. If you want tickets, you can still get them. You can still go to the swapping tickets area and get that.
And that's at fillmorefamily.ca /fowl. Join the Fillmore family as they descend on the Hellenic Community Center for their 12th annual offering of the Fowl Supper, benefiting the McLaurin Housing Society, Out in Schools, and A Loving Spoonful. From 20 to 90 years old, queer, straight, and who cares? Your mother, your grandmother, your father, your uncle, your boyfriend, your brother, your girlfriend, and so on. Get on your cruise wear, slap on a name tag, and come down for a big old turkey dinner dancing Fillmore family style. And there's liquor, if you are so inclined. Go to fillmorefamily.ca for more information. Queer Care 4?
That would be Queen's Care 4.
Queen's Care 4.
Fantastic, yeah.
November 12th, 8 p.m. till 1 a.m. at Celebrities Nightclub. Join us for the 4th annual Queen's Care on Saturday, November 12th at 8 p.m. at Celebrities Nightclub. Tickets are $20, available at Little Sisters and pre-app. All proceeds raised that evening will be donated to the Vancouver Friends for Life Society and to Out in Schools in memory of Diana Rose and DJ Jules. This year's show will be hosted by Joan E. Carlotta Girl with music by DJ Drew. And that's all I have to say.
Well, thank you very much. So Barb Snowgrove will be back next week. She's going to hopefully bring us like coconuts or sand or booze or
Cabana Boys.
Cabana
there you go.
Boys.
Get your priorities straight.
Well, you know, it's.
See, if I don't breathe when I talk, I can sound normal. But then it talks into this.
Yes, indeed. Well, I have. I live with a Cabana Boy. He's really pretty. So I just kind of like.
I want a Cabana Boy.
You would need four of them. You would need, or one for every day of the week and maybe two for Sunday. Because, it's going to be a rough weekend. Well, you know, one of the things that, by the way, this is Queer FM Arts Extra. My name's Aiden Saint.
Oh, this is Beth Mack.
And this is CITR 101.9 FM. We're broadcasting from the University of British Columbia here in Vancouver. I'm kind of the one that does the politics thing. Okay, that's generally what floats my boat. And you know what? Every once in a great while, I get to weigh in on something that warms my little gay heart. And this is one of them. Now, let me preface my next statement by saying I am sorry that this is going on. I'm very sorry when anyone has to suffer.
Oh, you're not talking about Movember because that's not suffering.
No. When anyone has to suffer, emotional heartbreak, especially in the public eye. Okay. That being said, okay, this is where the jaded part of me comes out. You know, the over 40 crowd. Hi. Yeah, I'm one of those guys. Kim Kardashian is getting a divorce. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, 72 whole days. And here's the thing. They figured it out. The millions of dollars spent on the wedding, the millions of dollars she got for the video of the wedding, okay? And then, of course, there's, you know, all the residuals that go into the television show and the this and the that. And, of course, there's going to be all kinds of appearances on every show under the sun. They figured it out. Today, she was married. It cost $10,000 an hour. $10,000 an hour for her marriage.
Huh.
Yeah.
For $10,000 an hour, I'd marry anyone for 72 days.
You know, and here's the thing, okay? The outrage about this, and why am I talking about this? Here's why. There was a really there have been fantastic articles written. This one's coming from The Advocate, and I'm just going to read this because it's amazing. We'll have a little discussion. The real L Word stars Jill Goldstein and Nikki Weiss Goldstein's open letter to Kim Kardashian. This was posted yesterday afternoon. Hollywood power couple Jill Goldstein and Nikki Weiss Goldstein, former stars of The Real L Word, have something to say to another woman on reality TV, Kim Kardashian, on the news that Kardashian's million-dollar marriage has ended after 72 days. Dear Kim Kardashian, like much of the world, we were made aware of the news of your impending divorce from Chris Humphries after just 72 days of marriage. We're sorry for any personal anguish this is causing you. No one likes to hear about hardships when it comes to matters of the heart. That said, Kim, we can't help but wonder if your, quote, sacred union was indeed a ploy to boost the ratings of Keeping Up with the Kardashians while earning millions of dollars from the media in the process. That thought greatly disturbs us. As businesswomen, we respect your entrepreneurial spirit, but using a wedding slash marriage as a catalyst to further your brand recognition, your celebrity, and your wallet is truly hurtful to those of us who so deeply value the union and are yet unjustly denied the right. Did you know that gays are denied more than 1,000 federal protections as a result of not being allowed to legally marry? Are you able to understand how devastating it is to love somebody dearly, want to spend your life with them through a legally recognized and respected union, only to be denied that civil right because people in the position of power don't think it's, quote, right? We are unlawfully wed in the state of California on October 9th, 2010, where amongst dear friends and family, we vowed to love, honor, cherish, and respect one another. It was truly the most magical day of our lives. And yet, how meaningful and genuine our commitment to one another was, that I do was not enough to protect our relationship. We had to take countless measures to ensure that our honorable bond was guarded in the areas of healthcare, parenting, benefits, and taxes, just to name a few. We wonder if you appreciate just how many rights your marriage with Chris was afforded when you collected all those profits. Kim, we have no doubt that a woman as smart, savvy, and beautiful as you will find love in marriage again. Uh-huh. But for the respect of the millions of people who hear about it at every turn, many of whom you rely on to build your brand, please do take into consideration the uphill battle that so many of us have had to fight for marriage equality. Perhaps you can demonstrate a bit more respect for that union the next time around instead of using it as a business gain. Hmm. We'll leave you with this idea. Why not take a portion of the millions of dollars you earned on your wedding and donate it to the Human Rights Campaign to help fight for marriage equality? It would speak very loudly. Furthermore, this is my take on this and the take of many, many, many others. This is one of those things for me where, listen, the people in the United States that are speaking the loudest, that are making the most noise, it's always about the sanctity of marriage, the sanctity of union. Yeah? Well, you know, that's crap. Because this is a prime example. These are the people that are destroying marriage in your sanctimonious, you know, Bible thumping and all the hate speech aimed at gays and lesbians. Well, guess what, kids? This is the celebrated wedding, right? 72 days. $10,000 a day. So, really, is it really that, you know, is it really the bonds of wedlock and the sanctimony of marriage, really? The gays and lesbians are destroying that? Really? I find it astounding. And you guys are going to give her a pass on this, aren't you? Bless you, dear. You all are going to give her a pass on this. You know, it's not gays and lesbians that are destroying marriage. Ooh, God did not create a hurricane and slam the east coast of the United States because he was pissed off about marriage. Sorry. He didn't start global warming because he's pissed off. Okay? God probably doesn't even notice us down here, all right? Truth. No, it's church and state. And if y'all want to play, you know, y'all want to play, you know, with running the country and you all want to drive public opinion, then this is what you need to be looking at. You know, 72 hours or 72 days, $10,000 a day. She made a ton of cash on this deal. Now, do you think Ms. Kardashian is the problem or is it really gays and lesbians here? Really? Yeah. And that's my what do you think, Sam? I mean,
well, as Dennis Leary says, I look at Kim Kardashian's 72-day marriage this way. In dog years, that's almost half a year.
Sweet.
Not so bad.
Hey, half a year. Well, you know,
what was longer, Kim Kardashian's marriage or the trick-or-treater line outside of Casey Anthony's house?
Ooh, that's good. I'm going for Casey Anthony's house.
Most likely.
Yeah.
No, is anyone surprised?
Well, no, see, here's the thing, though. She's going to go on and get all this sympathy, and they're going to, you know, blah, 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 blah. And I'm just, I've had it. You know, they've been talking about the sanctimony of marriage, it's the sacred trust. Gays and lesbians, you're destroying it. No, we're not. No.
Things longer than Kim's marriage. Taylor Swift's speech before Kanye West took the microphone.
Ooh, that's good.
Things longer than Kim's marriage. Amber Rose's hair. Mm. Lindsay Lohan's line of white powder.
Oh, my goodness.
I didn't read that before I read it.
Oh, is Lindsay back on that again? Oh.
Things longer than Kim Kardashian's marriage. The Michael Jackson scandal.
Ooh.
Things longer than Kim Kardashian's marriage. This trending topic on Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
The NBA lockout. Kim Kardashian's TV show.
Wow. Well, you know, it just goes to show. I mean, we talk about a lot of things on this show, and this is just one of those things that it made me so angry to see this. When I know for a fact, I mean, there are already people that are, it just kills me. There's another article that I wanted to point out, and it's from the New Civil Rights Movement. Okay. And, this probably does a better job of talking about this than my feeble attempt at it. It's again from the New Human Rights Movement, and it states, Kim Kardashian filed for divorce today after a mere 72 days of marriage, citing irreconcilable differences to the soon-to-be former Mrs. Chris Humphries that will not even bother the charade of an annulment. The wedding itself cost an estimated $10 million, and highlighting the media's newly found love for of short division means the marriage cost $138,888 a day. On top of that, New York Times reporter Don Van Natta Jr. today wrote via Twitter, Kim Kardashian sold the rights to her wedding for $17.9 million. Her marriage lasted 72 days. Yeah. She just raked another $10,358.80 per hour. The real story here is not the media's obsession with the Kardashian universe, but the right's obsession with gay marriage. The right continues to push the illogical and downright false concept that same-sex marriage threatens opposite-sex marriages because, as they claim, two men or two women madly in love cannot possibly understand the true love and God's divine idea of civil marriage between one man and one woman. True love and God's divine idea of a civil marriage between one man and one woman, like, for example, Kim Kardashian and Chris Humphries, or say the 55-hour marriage of Britney Spears and Jason Allen Alexander, or say Zsa Zsa Gabor's 9 marriages, included the one in 1983 that lasted one day, or Alan J. Lerner, Mickey Rooney, Elizabeth Taylor, Artie Shaw, Lana Turner, or Larry King's 8 marriages each, or say the 3 marriages each of Tom Cruise or Newt Gingrich, or perhaps, if you like, Pamela Anderson's marriage to rocker Tommy Lee, which took place after their first meeting 96 hours earlier.
Really? Or perhaps,
yes. You didn't know that?
No.
96 hours, baby.
Wow.
And it was off to Vegas.
She got me beat.
Or perhaps Pamela Anderson's four-month-long marriage to Rick Solomon, or perhaps Pamela Anderson's four-month-long marriage to Kid Rock. Or perhaps threatening the institution of marriage would be marriages like that of Joseph Smith Jr., who in his short 38-year lifespan managed to found Mitt Romney's and John Huntsman's Mormon religion and marry 34 women, not consecutively, but with many, many polygamous overlaps. 34.
In how many years?
That would be in 38 years.
I don't know whether I'm scared or I applaud that.
Well, you know, I'm kind of a little bit of both myself, but it's like if you're going to hold the feet, you know, the gays and lesbians' feet to the fire on this, then let's be clear. Okay.
Oh yeah.
Let's be clear. I mean,
I'm just thinking men hate weddings. I mean, it's really the bride's day. So for a guy to go through that 34 times,
mm-hmm.
kind of impressive.
Yeah, no, it does show a little bit of...
Unless he's gay, because gay guys love weddings.
You know, that's the thing is, I was terrified.
Yeah, you were.
I was, she knows, I was terrified. I was like, I'm usually never at a loss for words. And it was like, yes, I will.
That's exactly how you were.
Yeah.
Doesn't I love you?
thank you so much for everyone for coming. Yeah, I'm terrified. Not because I was terrified of getting married to Justin, but I'm standing in front of all these people and they're looking at me.
I looked fabulous.
You did. Well, except for the skin knee.
Oh, yeah. I saw a scar from that.
So the last bit of this article says this. What really threatens the institution of marriage? Divorce. Divorce and all the issues that tear couples apart, leading to divorce, like financial problems, job loss, medical expenses, and so on. All the things that are the right are fighting not to fix, and those on the left are fighting to fix. The next time the U.S. Republican House of Representatives blocked the president's job bill, they're really saying, cheers for more divorces. The next time any lawmaker attacks the Affordable Care Act, they're really saying, cheers for more divorces. And okay, I'm not buying that. Divorce is what threatens marriage, not gay marriage. It's time to stomp out the nasty lie once and for all. So I was with him right until the whole, yeah. Here's the thing. You want to glorify these people and you want to give them, put them on a pedestal and just so you can knock them down. Hey, I'm all for that. That's just people are kind of sick that way. The thing that I really object to is this woman made, what, $17 million? Really? Yeah. And they're worried about me and my husband's marriage that's going to fundamentally shake the foundations of marriage. Yeah. And oh, by the way, he still can't go across to the United States and be a citizen because they don't recognize our marriage. Just saying. All right. So, yeah. We are going to step aside here and listen to a little bit of music. And then, well, we don't want to spoil it. So this is our CanCon weekend, or the remainder of it. So we're going to play one more tune from one of my favorite artists, and this is Kate Reed. And by the way, she came in and sang to us. So if you're out there, Kate, this one's for you. We love you. And yeah, we're not backing off.
It's a musician's life for me, don't you know? Just me and my guitar on the road. And sometimes my baby takes off work to join me. Then it's hotel rooms and late night shows, dirty bars and festivals. And there's one thing that you should know about my baby, is that she's so dedicated to me, it's crazy. Well, she carries my guitar, she drives me near and far. She's always there for me, my baby's so damn good to me. And when we walk together through these festival gates, well, the grounds lay out before us and my adoring fans are awaiting. There's vendors of handmade clothes, energy shakes and soap makers, and music for all ages. Well, the excitement is contagious, so I turn to share my feelings with my baby. But suddenly she is nowhere to be seen. It seems that she's all but disappeared, and my worst fear is realized when I finally discover she is otherwise occupied. My baby's in the beer tent again. She appears to be befriending the cute volunteer bartenders. She's boozing with the locals and she's schmoozing folks and smoking. My baby's in the beer tent again. Oh, my baby, she's as loyal as they get. Why, she's as solid as an S10 Chevy pickup truck in red. And I know she'll never leave my side. Well, it seems her eyes were made with me in mind. And for my baby, well, you know it's all about the music. She loves nothing better than to dance a little two-step now and then. 'Cause she digs bluegrass, folk, and country and old-timey. And as for my tunes, well, she's 100% behind me. But when we're at these festivals, my baby starts to change. She starts frothing at the mouth. She's got her sights set somewhere else. 'Cause when it comes to beer, well, I seem to disappear. She drops all my stuff and then she's off and running. And my baby's in the beer tent again. Well, she's chatting up the ladies and she's arm wrestling all the men. She's chugging with the rednecks and she's spending my whole paycheck. My baby's in the beer tent again. Well, my baby's rather quiet and introverted. Yeah, she doesn't tend to be much of a flirt. But when she gets a can of liquid courage in her hand, well, she turns into an instant bona fide ladies' man. She loves to party with our people and wave that rainbow flag. She'll be singing, "We are family," with the old school fags and the drag queens. Well, she's guzzling with the gays. She's down and drinks with all the dykes. She won't ever lay down and die. I know my baby will survive. 'Cause my baby's in the beer tent again. Well, she's even louder and she's prouder when her pride's a little pie-eyed. She's buying beers for all the queers. She's on a gender bender. My baby's in the beer tent again. Crocs, cutoffs, and plaid shirt. Well, my baby's a plate of fashion, and she's looking hot for certain. But she swears up and down that she ain't the Earth Mama type. Well, she firmly believes that she ain't no granola dyke stereotype. But when my baby starts swilling hops with all the hippies, then she's talking 1960s folk songs and she's rolling herbal ciggies. She spouts off about compost, organic gardening, and tofu. She's toking with her psychedelic sisters, and she's even playing Naked Twister. And my baby's in the beer tent again. Yeah, she's tripping with the hippies, and her peace man never ends. She gets all flower power when she gets a few drinks down her. My baby's in the beer tent again. She's in all her splendor, and she's a repeat offender. She's dancing on the tabletops, and she shows no sign of stopping. My baby's in the beer tent again. My baby's in the beer tent again. My baby's in the beer tent again.
In New York, the Occupy Wall Street protests continued for the 25th consecutive day. The protesters mix it up today with what they called the Millionaires March. They actually traveled around to stand outside the mansions of some of the wealthiest people in New York. Is that protesting? It sounds like tourism to me. Here in Hollywood, people pay to get on a bus and do that. But, you know, These protests have been going on for quite some time now, and they're starting to become a burden on local businesses in the area. But there is a notable exception, one business which has managed to find a way to actually make some money on all this.
This holiday season, give a loved one a unique, memorable gift that will last a lifetime. Now, for the first time ever, you can name a Wall Street occupier after that special someone on your gift list. Introducing the International Wall Street Occupier Registry. The International Wall Street Occupier Registry has a limited number of occupiers available for naming. For just $54.99, we'll select a unique occupier and tattoo the name of your loved one on his or her arm. Your special someone will receive a full-color photo of their personal occupier along with a parchment certificate of authenticity. And if and when their occupier gets arrested, your loved one's name will appear on the police blotter. Call 800-720-0622 to reserve your occupier now. Don't be a douche. Call today.
And, well, you know, I do love me some Jimmy Kimmel. And, you know, you got to, what do you think about the Wall Street, the Occupy Wall Street thing? Oakland got smashed. And now there's a little talk, Sam, about here in Vancouver. The mayor's kind of saying, yeah, you know, this is costing the city a lot of money. And y'all have been there for a while now. And
y'all really aren't accomplishing anything.
No. Actually, they had a really amazing thing. Okay, kids, if you know, get your internet search engines out. If you get the Colbert Report from last night and again tonight, they have part two. Now, maybe I'm just not hipster enough or hippie enough or neo-hippie or whatever, but they had these two nondescript, kind of geek-looking kids on Colbert. From New York, they had him on, and they were talking about this whole language they do. Apparently, there's hand signals, like a cross in front of your body is blocking, and there's like this triangle that they make. When instead of having leaders, everything's by consensus, which seems doomed to fail to me, because eventually it always comes down to, you know, someone's going to try to take over, or they're, you know,
he who has the pig head on a stick wins.
Pretty much. But they have this whole hand signals thing. So instead of point of parliamentary procedure, they just have procedure, and it looks like a little diamond they make with their hands. And they make that when they're unhappy with the direction the conversation is going, or they do their hands down, you know, like open, fingers down, and they make their fingers wiggle. And that's, we don't like that. Yeah.
Oh,
it's just bizarre. And I'm watching this going, wow, really? So, and it was weird because the girl that ran it was so passive aggressive. It was like, it was amazing. It was like, are you from Commercial Drive? I didn't say that, did I?
Hipster.
Anyway.
Get pants that fit, damn it.
Oh, don't get me started. So.
And there's no lenses in your glasses.
Oh, yeah.
Give Drew Carey his frames back, honey.
Shaw. Yeah, I said it.
Actually, I'm totally lying. I love those glasses.
Oh, well, I didn't. So it was really amazing, though. So you got to check this out. What do you think, though, about the whole Occupy thing?
I think it's messy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's obnoxious. And I think it looks like a bunch of people in Vancouver were jealous of the homeless people and thought, hey, let's go camping, but I don't want to pay for a campsite. So they took their tents and their tarps and they went to the Vancouver Art Gallery for a nice little camping vacation. And then it rained because it's October. It looks awful to me.
Well, I mean, all that,
and they're not really proving anything, because I went to a comedy show Sunday night at Forum, and the comedians were making fun of it, and they're from the States, and they have no idea what the point is, or if there's a point. They're wondering why people are they think they're against art. Damn you, Rembrandt. And that's kind of what it, if you don't watch TV, if you're not following this on the radio or in the news and whatnot, because I don't, you think it's a bunch of squatters, which it essentially is, And it's a little bit obnoxious. It's wrecking some beautiful grounds that can be used for some amazing events. And it's starting to piss off people. And here's where I get pissy about it. It's when they sit in the middle of an intersection or when they get into a banking institution and create a ruckus in there. They're stopping the everyday working man from being able to do his job, pay his bills, and feed his children. And I don't like that. It's not how you get your point across. It's not really how you protest. You call it a peaceful protest. What you're doing is you're pissing off the people whose voice will be your change.
Well, and who would support you otherwise. That's the thing.
Yeah, it's why are you shooting yourself in the foot?
I was supporting you. Now I'm not.
Well, there's a dear sweet friend of ours who's at that right now.
Yeah.
Who I like to call him a sheep now. Because I don't think it's cool that he's driving all the way out from Abbotsford to come sleep in a tent.
Yeah.
In front of the art gallery. I don't know if he knows what he's protesting, and I'm not a big fan.
Well, we're gonna start signing off here. This is Queer FM Arts Extra. Just a last thing on that. Hey, ask the protesters, give us your top three things you stand for here. What's the top three things the movement stands for? And oh, by the way,
fresh toilet paper in the outhouse.
If I want to send an inquiry, where do I send that and who's the spokesman or spokesperson?
Oh, here. It's on Twitter at OccupyVancouver.com or Occupy Vancouver at Twitter. And call 604-873-7276 to be added to the speaker list at the council meeting in Vancouver today at 2 o'clock.
Well, there you go. We are out of here. We're going to step aside. Our podcast or our magic computer is down. So normally when we'd be playing ads for you, you're going to be spared the ads. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to queue up the next person's song and go like this. Hey, be good to each other. It's Aiden Saint.
And I'm Samantha Mack with the sniffles.
And this is Queer FM Arts Extra. Check us out next Sunday, next Tuesday. You know what to do. QueerFMVancouver.com. We're out of here. Bye-bye.